Hey, it's Alex Gray here, and today on Gray Area, we are so excited to introduce to you a Berlin-based singer, songwriter, and producer who has gained so much traction as of late due to her striking euphoric shows and even being listed in Pete Tong's Future Stars of 2022. It's Joplin!
Hey, what's up? How are you? Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show. Now, let's just dive straight into it and let's go from the very beginning of your story because I'm dying to hear about it, to be completely honest.
Mm-hmm.
When
and why? I'm an open book.
You're what, sorry?
I just said I'm an open book. Ask me anything.
Amazing. Yeah. Anything? Okay.
Uh-oh. I'm not set that. I'm scared.
Famous.
No, sorry. I don't want to.
So when and why did you start writing and producing music?
This always sounds a little extreme when I say it, but I did start writing, like I started with writing poetry, and that was at a very young age. I think I was 5 or 6. But like I said, like those poems that I was writing, it was, you know, we learned about it in school. I was just jotting down thoughts. And I was just having fun. Most of them were in German in the beginning because that's my mother tongue. And then later I switched to English. And then I also got to experience, you know, the typical Asian upbringing. I was sent to piano lessons also at the age of 5. And I think like at around 8 or 9 years old, I combined the two. Like I just had this, you know, I was seeing so many other artists getting inspired on the radio or like on YouTube or wherever, and I just really wanted to do the same. And so I took, you know, those two building blocks and kind of wrote my own songs with those two things that I was already doing. The first songs I ever wrote, they were obviously very abstract. They were basically poems turned into melody with some, like, with 3 notes accompanying them on the piano. But then I really got into it. Like, I got into song structure. I started writing, you know, real piano ballads that were very, like, pop influenced. I was a huge Lady Gaga fan during that time. So I was like, I think that was a huge, that was a huge inspiration. That was actually my first concert ever in Berlin. I saw her live, I think when I was like 8 or 9, which was like,
oh my gosh,
the like pinnacle of her career. Like, you know, she had this like huge castle on stage dressed up as a monster. There were like these like creatures like carrying her around. Like it was like still to this day, like the best, like the craziest show I've ever been to. And I think that really also kickstarted everything. But I was still doing it on the side. And then I think who really inspired me was Lorde. Like when she came, you know, onto the scene with Royals, cause she was so young too. And that was really, I also then saw her live here in Berlin. I have like a diary entry that I wrote after that night. And it's like, I think that was like a turning page almost for me. Because after that I was like, I don't care what anyone tells me, like, I want to do music. I don't care about school anymore. Like, let me just write my songs. And yeah, so I really got into it. And then I also discovered a GarageBand on my computer because it's, you know, pre-installed.
Yeah.
So I started recording, and then I asked my parents for like a little like MIDI keyboard just so I could, you know, play some music in there. And then the electronic influence really also came, I think, through growing up in Berlin. So, you know, here in the city, like you walk down the streets and you just hear techno or house music or whatever, like really like pumping out of, you know, each pore of the city. So I think that definitely then impacted the way I started looking at music. And I'm still just learning. I'm still just experimenting, but that's kind of how I started and what I still do now.
So you definitely spoke a lot about your early influences and what inspired you, but like obviously, you know, you're still producing and you're still creating, and as a creative, we kind of need to be inspired to keep creating and kind of keep that fire burning. So what for you now is kind of your biggest inspiration, whether that be a person or a place or a thing or anything?
I always say 2 things. I'm very, very inspired by places, which definitely helps that part of this job, like such a huge part of this job is just traveling a lot. So this year has really been like the first year because COVID, where I really got to see so many like new places and got to travel around so much, and that was definitely like a huge inspire for me. Like I just, even now the sad thing is that I don't really have the time that I had before to let out all this inspiration, just because I'm always on the road. But nowadays I'm like writing songs even on stage, just to, you know, just because that's such a special like headspace to be in, yeah. Such a special moment, such a special place, like to literally see the people in front of you, like hear your music on loudspeakers, and I like jam on stage, and sometimes songs really solidify out of that. So I have like now for the next album already like 3-4 songs that I just made randomly while I was performing. And the second thing that really inspires me is one last thing about the places thing I just remembered. I actually went to Ibiza beginning of this year to make my second album, and the reason for that was also to escape the Berlin winter, but officially to get some new inspiration. Because, you know, as a creative, like you said, like it's not very proportionate to hours put in, you know, that, you know, the more hours you put in, the better the outcome is. I feel like most good, really awesome songs are written within like 5 minutes. And that's just because there's a spark, there's an inspiration, there's something in the air. And I feel like if you have, like, I always try to put myself in those in those moments and in those situations. And that's why I like actively try to hunt down new places just to get into that vibe. So that was the story behind the album. But the other thing that really inspires me is my dreams, actually, which sounds a little cheesy.
No, it doesn't.
But
dreams are like a portal to another world.
I know, I know. It's so, I'm such a vivid dreamer. And I also lucid dream a lot. And so many like just like I dream so visually that so many songs are just me describing my dreams, because it's like a completely different world and like absurd like things that no one would ever like in their conscious awake mind even think of. And one of the songs off the album is actually like, I remember I was in a dream. I was in my apartment and then I saw this little door in a corner, and I was walking through it, and all of a sudden I was kind of like in my own subconscious. Like it was so weird. It was like a gallery almost, and there were like pictures on the wall of people that I hadn't talked to in ages, or like scribbles on the wall, and like liquids of like, you know, memories, like just like everything like mixed together. And I was like walking around it, almost looking at it like I was in like an exhibition. And that was so, so weird. And so it resonated with me so much that like I woke up and I wrote just like on my notes app, like I see stains of love, writings on the wall. And like, and I basically wrote the chorus to my song Stains. So yeah, that's, I think, the two main inspirations that I have, places and dreams, which is kind of the same thing also.
Yeah, in a weird way, it's like real life and then your own personal real life, in a way, like a world that no one else can see other than you. And I think that's kind of what helps you create such an original and unique sound. Because yeah. My next question leading on to then was going to be, how would you describe your own development as an artist? Because coming from being inspired by the likes of Lady Gaga and Lorde to the sound that you have now is kind of worlds apart. Yeah,
definitely.
So how would you,
How would I describe finding my sound?
Yeah.
Like how that happened?
Mm.
Okay. I think it was a lot of partying when I, you know. No, growing up in Amazing. Berlin, like, you know, you go to clubs at a pretty young age. You see all of these, like, you see just the power that, I feel like what's so beautiful about club music specifically is how uniting it can be. Like, I always say, like techno clubs are the safest and, like, the calmest. I feel like those are one of the calmest environments in the world. Not per se because everyone's, like, in their zen, you know, everything's calm. But everything is just there. It's just filled with love. And in that whole energy and that aggression in the music, there's still like just, I feel like, so much appreciation for just being in this moment together and dancing together. I remember, like, if you compare that to hip hop clubs, I feel like there was always like people getting in fights, you know, it was like definitely like a different vibe, which is also cool. But I think that's kind of the beauty of electronic music. that resonated with me. And then I started really getting into, you know, I think Caribou was a big one that I first, you know, got into. And there's so many artists, like, or like more extreme ones like Oliver Huntemann. You know, there's so many Germans also in this scene. Then Bukashay, they were one of the first ones to ever approach me about a collaboration. They're obviously, you know, legends in that space. And they are my mentors still, and they've kind of guided me along the way. And I think it was just, you know, actively being there, celebrating the music and getting inspired by other artists. And also just, like I said, like really resonating with the whole feeling of that specific genre.
That's beautiful. And now not only are you clearly very passionate about music and what you do, but you're also very passionate about bringing more women into the world of music production. Why do you personally think that there are less women than men in this role, having lived and breathed it yourself? And how do you think that more women could become inspired to consider this as a career path?
I think the reason that I think only 2% of all producers are women is, I know it's kind of
crazy.
Sad. I know. but we're working, you know,
yes,
towards their number. Well, that's the spirit. Yeah, I think it's such a technical job. And, you know, technical jobs in general, I feel like get attributed a lot to men. And I think that's also what makes it very intimidating, like for women to download Ableton or pick up a controller or whatever. Like, I think what we also lack is just representation. Like, if you look at the lineups, if you look at the producers, if you look at any, like, all the rosters, like, it's all men. And I see it every time I play a gig. I'm always the only girl at the artist dinner. I obviously, like, as a woman, you tend to get belittled a lot. Like, it's like, people are like, yeah, that's cute that you're DJing now, but like, who's the man behind you? Like, who's really making all the music?
Yeah.
Or like, you get sexualized a lot.
Yeah.
You aren't taken seriously. It's definitely hard. Like, it's an uphill battle. And I feel like even women, like, in this space, I feel like we're so often taught to compete against each other. And that is still so ingrained that even when I was looking, like, I remember that was 2 years ago when I just started out, I was looking specifically for female remixers for my album. But I was like super, like, my numbers weren't up there at all. Like, I just started. I was still a super small artist. And so many women were, you know, they passed. And it's obviously, like, it's also like, it's not only because of the numbers, maybe they didn't resonate with it, with the music, but it felt a little bit like it was so hard, you know, out of that list of like only 20 women that I even found that are music producers, to then really get together for such a, I think it's always a cool thing, two girls collaborating on something.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I feel like, you know, we have to learn to kind of lift each other up, make diversity a priority. Like, if you're in that position, play the lineups where there's, you know, a higher quota of women. Work with the agencies that represent more women. You know, really, you know, advocate for it. And I think what's the most important thing also is just representation. Like I said, people like Lady Gaga and Lorde, they're basically the reasons I first started getting into music, and that was because I saw a part of myself in them. And that's why I always say, like, even if you don't want anything to do with it as a woman, if you're out there doing your own shit, like, stuff, and I don't know if I can swear,
yeah, it's
fine. Doing whatever you do, doing your own shit, and like really just like showing your face out there, like, you know, being your, like, having a voice, and if just one little girl sees that and sees themselves in you, you're already like working towards the movement of getting more women into it. So I think representation is very big. I think safe spaces are very important, like really no judgment, just uplifting each other, empowering each other. There's this super cool, like, now WhatsApp group. I don't know if I can talk about it. Are you in there? Probably,
huh?
No,
I'd love to be in it.
Okay, I'll send you the link. It's like a secret society almost. It's all women and electronic music that work in electronic music are in there. And it's like, it's the craziest group. Like, whenever I open up my WhatsApp, it's like 500 unread messages, but it's like now, you know, it's so cool to be in a group like that because we're all just champion, like, you know, like cheering each other on and like sending cool stuff, helping each other out. Like, it's such a positive environment and little world. And I feel like little things like that have really showed me and like have me feel like I'm supported and have really showed me that there is, that we're now coming together more and more and really working towards making this an important goal. And I'm working with Ableton, I'm working with Spotify, giving like production workshops just to make everything like a little more accessible, a little less intimidating. But like I said, I think the most important thing is just doing what you do anyway. And that's like always inevitably going to inspire people.
That's amazing. And I think it really takes people like yourself to kind of make that world accessible to other women, because like you say, I think women get intimidated by it almost. And doing things like the workshop, that's incredible. I think it shows like, hey, look, like I can do this, I can show you how, like it's really not this big scary thing that's dominated by men.
That's why I think it's hard in general, because I feel like the creative process is such a mysterious thing if you've never been creative. Like, it's kept behind closed doors so much. Like, you get presented with this perfect piece of music on like a golden platter, and like you never really see what went on, you know, behind it, or like how many people were actually working on that, because usually it's a lot more people than you expect. So I think just like democratizing that whole process and concept is like a very, like, very dear to my heart, definitely.
And you're doing an amazing job, so keep it up. And now,
thank
earlier,
you. So are you.
Thank you. Now, earlier you mentioned that you spent some time in Ibiza, hence the birth of your second album, San Jordi, which is incredible. But you also spent some time with other big names in the industry out there. Cue a photo of you and Damian Lazarus being super cute at High.
What does there are so many photos of me and Damian there.
I love it. Amazing. What does it mean for you to be making a debut on Crosstown Rebels with We Will Forgive Ourselves?
Oh my God, I remember that was last year, or like beginning of this year, I think, like when things had still, like this year has been crazy.
Yeah.
Let me preface this by saying this. Like, last year I played, I think, 5 shows in general, like in total. And like this year I played 50 or 60. So like times 10.
Yeah.
And that was, like I said, at the beginning when this whole mayhem of shows and everything hadn't happened yet. So it felt like, you know, we met at Watergate, which is my home here in Berlin, you know, a club here in Berlin. And because he was throwing his Crosstown Rebels night in Berlin, and he was asking for like a local DJ opening act. And then, because, you know, I'm so close with the Watergate family, they're like, let's just do Joplin. And then he was so, like, he was so impressed by my set or something that, like, I remember I said goodbye. I remember that, like, because that was one of my first gigs, I was still a little starstruck. I was like, whoa, this is Damian Lazarus. At the Artist Center, like, I was like, freaking out. and then we said goodbye. And then, like, 2 weeks later, I get a WhatsApp from him. He's like, I have to talk to you. Like, call me in 10 minutes. And I'm like, okay, what's happening now? And then, like, we just got to talk. And oh my God, yes. But also the quickness, because I was like, how do I prepare? It was such hell. And then it turned out he didn't want anything bad. Like, I was like, is he gonna call me to tell me that my gig was so bad that, like, he's like, I was like, all these thoughts were rushing through my head. And then he was like, yeah, I really love what you do. I want you to do a song on Crosstown. And I was like, okay. So I ran into the studio, like literally ran. I mean, I do have a home studio, so I ran like 3 steps to my studio, but it still counts. then I made We Will Forgive Ourselves, which was already an idea I had floating around anyway, but I hadn't solidified it yet because I hadn't had the inspiration, that spark that we were talking about. Yeah. And that really inspired that. And the whole thing has just been so magical. I mean, he's been such a supporter. I now played, you know, my first little Ibiza residency with him Saturdays with Black Coffee in Damien's room, in the club room. And I don't know, he's just taken me under his wing, and I'm so grateful. And yeah, I mean, there are some new things that we're working on, potentially. And and yes. it's been amazing. And it's also like through this whole year of like every weekend being somewhere else, it was almost like a little routine, a little felt a little bit like homecoming, because I played there every month once. So every time I went there, it was like, okay, I'm still flying somewhere, like this is still stressful and crazy, but it feels a little bit more grounded than the other shows.
Almost like a little bit of stability in a very hectic life.
Exactly, exactly. And that's exactly what you need.
Now, I think the lyrics in all of your songs are so beautiful, and they really demonstrate not only your talent, but also your depth and your intelligence. And We Will Forgive Ourselves comes with a poignant message. Would you be able to explain a little bit about the meaning of this release?
We will forgive ourselves. It feels so long ago. Wait, let me think of the lyrics. Singing. I think We Will Forgive Ourselves is actually my way of kind of dealing with, you know, this very hedonistic, very excessive side of, you know, this culture, this genre that I'm in, you know, within techno, within house, within club music. Like, there is this dark side that no one really talks about, which I feel like is just, you know, drugs, and like, it can be a very toxic place too, even though like with all its beauty. And I think that was my way of kind of marrying the two ideas, that it can be toxic and it can be, you know, this dark place, but at the end of the day, it is uniting. We're on this together feeling, and there's so much support in there that at the end of the day, we will forgive ourselves for, you know, all the parties, all the things that we did. And I mean, you can of course take this whole idea and, you know, project it even on a wider scope, being like, we'll forgive ourselves in general in this world for all the things that are going wrong. And yeah, I think it is a very melancholic song, but I did want it to have like a hopeful message at the end, and I did want it to be positive and uplifting. And there's something, because it is very choral, it feels almost like we're in a church sometimes when I play it. And it's those moments on the dance floor that I live for. And I think when I was, because I had the melody before I had the lyrics, so I was just trying to also write lyrics that kind of capture this feeling that this melody had already evoked in me anyway. So yeah, that's how I came up with the lyrics for that song.
I love that. And I kind of like the ambiguity. Like, obviously that song has the meaning to you, but the listener can kind of take the lyrics and make it meaningful for them as well. You know,
like, yeah, exactly. That's I think in general, exactly. It's the beauty of music or art, I think, that like you can have your own interpretation, but anyone can take this piece of whatever, like substance, and mold it into their own perception of the world. And like, it can be something so meaningful to them that you didn't even at all intend for it to be in the first place.
Now, something more meaningful to you, let's talk about Jop, a character and extension of yourself, which underpins your album St. Geordio 2. And I'm absolutely in awe of this story. I read it earlier, and I would love for you to tell our listeners about it too.
Okay, I was already hinting at it. I was talking about stains.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, do I go on this whole tangent with Jop, or like, do I not?
It was already coming. Don't worry. I had it in there already.
Yeah, Jop is my girl. She came from this dream that I was talking about, this very visual dream about where I was in my subconscious. And I just remember having this finished song in my hands then, and being like, the song, because it stems from a dream, like it can't not have like a visual side to it. Like there has to be a visual explanation to it. It can't be just the song, because I mean, the lyrics are pretty clear, but then in my head, I feel like things are always make a lot more sense than they do to, you know, the average person just casually listening. So I was like, okay, how do I transport this dream that I had into like the visual space? And that was my first time ever working with visuals or anything, or at least animations. And I was like, I really want it to be animated, because it is such a, you know, fantastic and just like fantasy world. that I can't have it be like a camera thing because, first of all, it was a cost thing. Like, I can't, you know, make all these visual effects and everything and film, like, work with real footage here. I wanted it to be, I love drawing and I wanted it to be, you know, in that format. So what I did was I drew like a bunch of sketches from the stream that I had about this room where I was in. And I then also filmed like reference videos where I was, yeah, for example, in that specific loop, I always call them loop because they loop, obviously. I'm like walking around and like, I don't know, touching the walls, exactly what I did in my dream and like looking around. So I filmed a video of me doing exactly that with the hairstyle, like with the two space buns that I always have and the two braids and the two dots. And I was just like shopping it around to friends and, you know, just people that I knew here in Berlin, being like, would you be able to like help me bring this vision to life? And then a friend of mine, Amy, she's like, yeah, that sounds super cool. Like, I'm super into it. She was, because I feel like you can't nowadays, because there's so many people that need animations. Like, there's just such a huge demand. You can't really buy those people anymore. Like, of course, if you have like a huge check waving.
Yes.
But like, I didn't have that. So it's like, I really need to get someone who just sees the vision and is as passionate about me, about really like, you know, creating this project together. And that's, Amy was super passionate about it. After the first meeting, like, we were just like brainstorming, like, we opened up a little WhatsApp group and we were sending ideas, like, it was crazy. And then we really worked on this first video together and we finished out within like 2-3 days. I mean, at the beginning, it was also like a whole day of just talking about the style, like the animation style, like, how do we want Jop to be portrayed? And yeah, but then we were really quick and I just kept on sending reference videos, kept on sending like sketches and vision boards for all the other songs. And we just made the whole album that way. And then I had all these loops before I had Jop's name. And that really just came from, lots of people call me Jop. And then I was like, why not call, you know, her Jop? Cause I like that it's like androgynous. I like that it can, again, like, J-O-P, it could be whatever you want it to be. Like, I didn't want to tell anyone what it was and like what the acronym stands for. A bunch of like, I have different ideas, of course, but at the end of the day, like, you can decide. And it was really just cool because then like, I now have them on Spotify as my canvas. I'm thinking of maybe doing possibly like an NFT thing with them. Like, you can take this thing and like turn it into so many different mediums again. And like, I, for the first time ever, actually played a live show here in Berlin at Cantina am Berghain the other day, and I projected, like, it wasn't synced at all to the music, but I just projected Jop onto my, like, onto the stage while I was playing, and it looked so cool, because it was really, like, my own world, you know? It was also my first headline show that I ever played here in Berlin, so it was, like, a special little moment, and it was great to have Jop up on stage there with me, dancing with me. And it just, I don't know, it felt, because I see myself as such a like audio visual artist. Like, I feel like I don't want to be confined to just audio. That's like my first little, you know, my first little tippy toe steps into that whole world of like visual art. And yeah, that's how Jop came to be.
It's amazing. And you kind of actually already answered my question, definitely about this music video. Because mm-hmm. I feel I've watched a few of your others and there is so much, I want to say there's so much power, depth and almost grace in your videos and like with your performance. Thank you. Like, you really kind of just, there's so much power like from you, like a natural sense of power. Like, you're not really doing anything. Like, it's just from within you. And all of your videos are so, that was true. And it's so, they're all very individually striking, including the cartoon of stains, which I thought was amazing.
They're all individually crazy.
Yeah, they're amazing. I love them. And they all deserve to blow up and get millions of views. So clearly, like from what you just said, you had a lot of creative control over the Stains music video, but over your other ones, were all those aesthetics down to you as well?
Are you talking about the other Jop videos or just in general, like music videos?
Just in that general, are out there? Yeah.
I'm a big control freak, which is also like, I think I make my life a lot harder than it could be. But I do like for every video, because I do, like, I always said back when I was still, like, in the beginning of making music, and my parents were like, get a real job. I always said, I always said, because I've been editing videos like my whole life. Like, it started, I think, also around when I was 8, 9 on Final Cut. Just from watching YouTube's like skits and everything, I was just doing my own stuff. And that is, like, you know, a legit job nowadays. Like, everyone needs an editor. So yeah, I was always telling my mom, like, exactly. Like, if the music thing doesn't work out, I'll just do that. Like, I'm good at that. Like, I've had multiple people tell me, you know, like, you know, directors and stuff, that I actually, that it looks good what I do. So I told my mom, like, I can do this if everything else fails. And that's kind of was always my way of, like, calming her down. So that was just a little side anecdote. But I do, like, most of the music videos, I'm the one editing them. I'm the one filming them. Mind Actress was the first one that was like a year or two ago, where I really did everything, like, down to styling. I did all the casting. I did all the location scouting. I did obviously all the editing. I couldn't film myself because I love being behind the camera too. Like, I love photography too. But I then got a friend of mine here from Berlin, Julia Klotz, to, like, film, you know, hold, like, yeah, be the one, be the camera woman. And yeah, it was just, that was, like, took me probably all in all, like, a month just of work. But it was so fulfilling to me. And, like, the other videos that I have, like, I do work with directors, but then I'm like, I put my foot down a lot because I never wanted to be, you know, not me. I always wanted to be authentic. And I have gotten into a couple fights about that too, because they're like, yeah, but we really like this shot. But I'm like, no, we're not doing this shot. And it's like, I'm definitely not an easy artist to work with, I think, just because I always have, like, my idea of how I want it. But I love collaborating too. And yeah, it's just become I think it's about building, like, this world where people can immerse themselves in. And the world, obviously, the foundation of the world is my music, is my songs. But, you know, this world is four-dimensional. There's, you know, so many other parts of this world that aren't my music. And that can also be my styling just in general, or it can be just the videos I take, or how exactly I angle a camera when I take photos, or the look I give into the camera. Like, I feel like it's this, like, all-encompassing thing. And I really love expressing myself in any way possible within that realm.
Well, that's beautiful to hear, because I was watching the videos and I was wondering, I was like, wow, is this all from you, or is this someone else's vision? And it's like, it's so refreshing to hear that all came from you. And, you know, it's your brand, it's your style, and it's incredible.
Thank you. Now, it means a lot.
No, it's amazing. You're welcome. So going back to Stains, mm-hmm. I have to say, when listening to this track, I almost felt like I was kind of being transported to a different dimension. Like, I often feel that way with, like, house and tech music, and I definitely mm-hmm. felt it with this track.
Good.
And uh-huh. I kind of feel like I'm getting lost within the depth of the sound. So when you're creating a track, and when you're producing music, what is your aim? And, like, do you have the listener in mind, or do you kind of just let the magic flow and just let whatever be will be?
I think it depends. I think it's a thin line to walk between art and functionality, you know, because you need both, especially when you're making club music, because it actually has a function. Like, people want to dance to it and lose themselves in it. So I try to, like, in the initial, like, spark moment, all of that isn't on my mind at all. Like, all I'm doing in that moment is just letting out my ideas and, like, recording them somewhere and just, like, putting it all down. But then I feel like that moment lasts maybe 5 minutes or something. And then the building blocks of the song are there. And then I think it's all about just being very diligent and, like, just, you know, working on every single building block, like, you know, getting yourself into the nerdy stuff of things. Yeah. And working, like, EQing everything, like, just, you know, the stuff that's not as exciting or, like, yeah, that people don't talk about at all. So when I'm in that mode, I'm obviously thinking, okay, like, if I do, you know, if I make this break too long, like, people are going to leave the dance floor. Or if I don't hit them with a kick here, like, they're going to, you know, like, that's, like, when I start thinking about stuff like that. And then I try to kind of find a compromise. I wouldn't say a compromise, but just try to, like, have that also influence the direction that the song takes. But I think it's important in the beginning to free yourself from all these like preconceptions of how music is supposed to be like, or like to follow a formula, or to look at it too mathematically, or just to think about it too much. Because those songs, like I remember, like I don't do this anymore because I don't really have the time. But last year I was pitching a lot for ads, like not under my own name, but just to on the side. And when you get on like a, what's it called? Like can't think of the name. Like the sheet where they tell you what exactly they want in that ad. Like it's all very like, then we need this feeling, and then we want the viewer to feel this type of way with this visual. So everything's already very premeditated, and you just have to adjust your music to fit that framework. And that was so hard for me, because I'm like, if I start out with already like having like a fixed, like expectation of the song, like it took me days to make the songs, and then at the end of the day they weren't even good, because I've just every note was like calculated. Because you can make a whole science out of it. Like you can be like, okay, if I go up now, then theoretically the mood is gonna uplift, or like if I take it slower, like the energy is gonna drop. So like I think if you look at it just too scientifically, that's when things go wrong, and that's when you lose that free spirit and just the ease of making music, which I think is like almost the crux of it all. So I think a mixture is important, but in the beginning stages, definitely don't think about any of that.
I like that. You just let the magic flow through you, and then you kind of have to kind of
Exactly. You're
tailor it
kissed
to
by the magic
something
muse.
consumable.
Yes. Make
Now,
it palatable.
yes, exactly. Now, to wrap
Exactly.
this up, obviously, like you said, this year has been so hectic for you, and in the best way possible. What do you have in store for the final month of December? And is there anything exciting? I think you hinted something earlier, but is there anything exciting that you can tell us? That you have ready for 2023, baby.
Big question.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, in December, like my goal was just to chill and to go
You
back to the
deserved it.
studio. That for me is chilling. Like I can't, I don't know if you can tell, like I'm always like on there. Like I always want to do stuff. So like for me, chilling is being in the studio. But that was my plan for the whole month. I was even like, I was happy because I hadn't got like, I remember last month I looked at December and I had one gig or something. So I was like, wow, okay, so I can really be at home, be in Berlin. I also just moved into a new apartment 8 months ago, but it looks like I just moved in because I just
You've
haven't been
never
here.
been there.
It's so sad. So like I wanted December to be the month where I, kind of move in really, and like, but then now I've just been getting all these spontaneous gigs. So I will be back on the road. Like I'll be in Belgium, I think, and then a lot in Germany, which I'm excited for because I hardly ever play in Germany. But I think, I mean, there are a couple cool collabs definitely coming. There is, I mean, I just released a new song on Watergate Records, which is Lima, which is a very special one for me, especially because Watergate is, like I told you, like such a integral part also of where I am right now, just career-wise, even though I hate that word. Then there's a very cool Book of Shade collab coming. I think our third one now.
Okay.
That's coming very soon. Then I am working on things with Damien, but those are probably more 2023. There are some other artists that I don't think I can name yet. I did a remix for a very cool girl, like indie artist, where I'm like, yes, woman, like girl power. And then 2023, actually, I'm doing the same thing all over again that I did this year. So I'm gonna like lock myself into a studio again for 2 months and work on album number three, in LA this time,
I
just
was literally
anywhere that's
about to ask,
popular.
what location had you chosen for it? LA, there we
It's
go.
LA, it's Silver Lake. So the album's probably gonna be like named after the street where I make it in LA. But yeah, so that's like I'm like only here for a month now, and then it's off over there. So yeah, those are my plans. I'm really just itching to get into the studio. Like even I was home for a week, like last month I think, and I have all this creative like material inside of me that's like waiting to get let out. And I remember that week, I think I wrote like 7 songs just because I was finally back in the studio. It was just all coming out. Cause like I said, like traveling, you make so many new impressions. And that's kind of my way of like processing them. So yeah, I'm just going to try to be in the studio and make some cool new music again. And you know, look for inspiration, also enjoy Christmas here in Germany. And those are the plans.
It sounds incredible. And I'm so excited to hear your LA inspired album because I love LA. That's what I want to be personally.
Ooh, very controversial thing to say.
Is it? Why?
Kidding. I feel like, I mean, I was just in New York for a week. I feel like people like kick you out of the city if you say it there.
Oh, but I don't want to be in New York, so I'm fine. It's too cold.
I love both. That's the thing. But if you go in the summer, I feel like it's nice. Yeah, I feel like LA, like I love LA too. I feel like LA is like 10 different cities in one, so you can't really say, like, you can't generalize.
And it's so good for being creative. So like, the creative energy there is just like, like everyone wants to
just about that.
Be like, exactly. Just create and just do stuff and like make things and be productive.
Yeah, so many like-minded people.
Yes, exactly.
Then I have to say, like, even though like it's such a blunt thing to say, but I'm so weather depend, like my mood depends so much on the weather. And also like my creative output or even like interest in being creative, like if it's dark outside, like in Berlin I woke up today and it was just gray. I'm like, it feels like the day just never starts and I never get going, so I'm just excited to be back, you know, in a sunny place and let that inspire me. And I already have like 6-7 songs, so the album is kind of done ish but I'm like,
maybe
like yeah. But like I said, holidays making music.
Well, exactly.
I always have stuff to do, so I'll be fine. Maybe I'll work on some more job videos or whatever. And I'll be playing a lot of gigs in America, which I'm happy about because I play mainly in Europe, and because I'm not, obviously, like, it's always such an act flying over there. So beginning of next year, I'm just going to, I think, see a lot of North America, maybe also South America. So it's exciting.
It all sounds so exciting, and I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time and talking about you and your life. It's been so fascinating and honestly really inspiring to listen to, and I hope that, and I'm sure that anyone who's even thinking about, as a woman, or even anybody who's thinking about getting into music, and they hear you and they hear you speak so passionately about it, they feel more, even more inspired to want to get started and start producing. And
yes,
you know,
do it.
I feel like I want to start producing.
This is your sign
too.
Yes, do it.
So thank you so much.
What I always hate about interviews is that, like, I would love to hear, like, I would have loved to ask you the same questions that you asked me, but obviously I can't. But it's like, you're such a cool person. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You've been amazing. And I really look forward to seeing your success explode even more next year, because I know it will.
Yes. Thank you so much. You heard it here first.
Gray area. Joplin is going to I'm going to say fucking huge. There we go.
That's oh my God. I don't feel that bad about my shit anymore.
I thought I'd balance it out for you, you know?
Thank you so much. Much appreciated.
You're welcome.